Can we stand up with our Bibles? Something will happen here. Hallelujah. We want to continue with our message we started on Sunday. That are titled, The Evidence of Salvation. The Evidence of Salvation. John chapter 4. And we try to reason from there being Gentiles. Verse 22. You worship, you know not what. Jesus was telling the woman at the well. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. And we pick our text from the last statement in that verse. It said, for salvation is of the Jews. That means Jesus is saying salvation is not for Gentiles. He says salvation is not for Gentiles. And another woman, the Syrophoenician woman, came to heal her child, and Jesus Christ told her, he said, it's not meat, it's not proper to give the children's meat to dogs. Gentiles are dogs before Israel. No wonder they hate them all over. He said he didn't come but for the lordship of the house of Israel. Now, why I go this far to take this teaching is to establish us something. Listen, church. I'd like to call your attention very seriously to know that when God makes you locate a ministry like this, He is giving us a privilege. A privilege that He has not given, not even to the Christian world. The privilege to know His divine agenda. I stressed it on Sunday and I will continue to stress it, because when we come to a ministry like this, we are coming with our hangover of our denomination. Many of us came now and you are coming to receive the Holy Ghost. You are coming here as if there is something in this altar. There is something Pastor Moses is holding, or the ministers here are holding, called the Holy Ghost. Then when you call, they go carry like this, give you, wow, then you go collect her, go get Holy Ghost. See? Amen. Some of you come here because there are so much gifts here. I receive texts, I receive messages from all over. Pastors, ministers, wanting me to be their mentor. Denominational hangover. We are, they always want a man they can hang on to. If God calls you, don't go and hang to a man. There is already a man that God has given us. What is his name? He is enough. He is the only mediator between God and man. And that is the problem we have in Christianity. Even in the end time message. They are looking for somebody to make their leader. And they come around me and want me to be their leader, and they feel very disappointed. Because me too, I am looking for Jesus to be my leader. And you are looking for me. Idolatry, Gentile idolatry. It is what they see, they follow. What they cannot see, they cannot follow. So they are always looking for something to hold on to. People will come to this place. If we want crowd to fool this place for any program, we will say, bring padlock. Bring mirror. Hey, come and see. Everybody will invite the whole village to bring padlock. When they happen, you are going to be delivered.
But the church shall live by faith.
We will not stop using padlock. If it's padlock that will bring you here, we will use padlock. So that by when you come, always take note. When you come, you go forget padlock because of what you go here. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, now, we have come for Holy Ghost. I want you to understand what the Holy Ghost is. Church, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we are not talking about anointing. It's not anointing. We have come beyond anointing. Abraham had two groups of children. Abraham had Isaac one side. Then he had the children of Keturah another side. Even Ishmael another side. He called them the children of the concubines. What did he give them in Genesis chapter 25 as he was about to die? He gave the children of the concubine. What did he give them? Gifts. Gifts. Only gifts he gave them. That is why the denominations, they have gifts. Gifts. But to Isaac, what did he give him? He gave him all. That is plus the gift and something else that the children of the concubine didn't have. Amen. The pride, God, all that God had, he poured it on Jesus. And all that Christ had, he poured it in his church. Hallelujah. And especially in this last church age, God is not reserving any anointing for another age. This is the last age. So whatever we need is with us. When we say, come for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what we're actually telling you in another language is, come and receive eternal life. That's what we're saying. Come and receive eternal life. Now, people are following a God they don't even know. He said, you serve a God you don't even know. You are saying, I'm going to heaven. You don't even know what it will take to go to heaven. All that you know is carry your Bible and then, you know, imitate what they did on the day of Pentecost by speaking in tongue. And then, once you can feel some sensation, it means he's with you. And then that's all. Get a good church to attend and be a worker in that church. Pay your tithe and your offering. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord, my God. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. Who is Jesus? Second person of Trinity. How can you be married to somebody you don't know? And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The rock of the knowledge, revelation of who Jesus Christ is. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is why the bride assembly here, we are unmovable. We are unstoppable. They try to kick us out of this place. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not. I sincerely believe that those who tried to fight us and they are still fighting us, I am telling you, I used to think that they have occultic powers before. But I have confirmed now that they don't have any occultic power, nothing. You know why? And if they belong to any occultic power, then that occultic power they belong is fake. You know why? Because the demon, Eri Babalawo, if you carry the name of a child of God to him for evil, he will see it and warn you. If you're a true child of God and you backslid and you want to go to Babalawo to look for one juju, when you enter their village, he will fight you to leave this place. Why? I don't want trouble. All these people who are fighting us and demolishing this place, I used to think they belong to any occult. If they belong, a fake occult they belong. If it's a real occult, that occultic power, that demon in charge will have told them, manage them here, manage them. If not, your own, and your own go scatter, their own go stand. We are untouchable, standing on a rock. Revelation, church, it is what you know that determines where you stand. Can I tell you also, when I say stand, I mean stand in holiness or stand in worldliness. If you know Jesus Christ as a holy God, you will live a holy life if you want to relate with him. If you know him as a superstar, then you will walk with him in the worldly way like superstars. Because I've had a Pentecostal preacher that called Jesus Christ a superstar. The superstar there, praise the Lord. He's not talking about the star of David. He's likening it to some popular, maybe Michael Jackson type of star. And watch those who call him superstar. They are the ones that everything worldly is on them. It is what you know. It is what you know, hallelujah, that will keep you holy before a holy God or make you live anyhow life. You can never know Jesus for who he is, a Christian, and live the type of nonsense life many Christians live. Somebody will go to church and after service, leave church and go and sleep with his girlfriend. Sleep with your boyfriend. Now, which church did you go? Which God are you calling upon? Then when you finish fornicating, then in the morning before you two of you go your way, you say, let us pray in Jesus' name. Which Jesus? Which Jesus? I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. Who is the fornicator? Let me see your hand up. 1, 2, 3. I'm telling you, somebody is holding Bible. Some of them are even ministers, pastors. Every one of us that we are pastor, we are supposed to be light bearers. We are there to show the people the way. Jesus Christ gave us talent and said, occupy till I come. The work that I do, you will do it also. And the work we are to do is to show the people the way. For Jesus is the way. To show them the way. And when a pastor is living the same kind of worldly life, you are projecting another Jesus. And a pastor has any spirit that he's talking to you about, and he's speaking in tongues, it is another spirit. And a pastor is there preaching, and they're preaching and saying he's a preacher, he's preaching another gospel. It is only but another serpent speaking again to the church Eve. Nothing more than that. So now, I am saying these things to make you listen. Knowledge does something. I can never go back to the denomination. Why? I know too much to go there. Under any reason at all. Go to denomination, the same thing as going to a Babalawo house. I know more than to go there. The message is to tell us come out of that. And to come out of that is not just physically coming out. It is total. Jesus Christ said, come to me. It's not standing at the altar there. Then you stand up from the congregation. I'm coming to Jesus. Not be with leg. It's from the heart. It's a decision you make from the heart. And if it is a decision you make from an understanding. Church, it's from an understanding. I've said this several times. That there is no anointing you receive. Who take it? Why? No oil they can pour on you. Listen. No prayer anybody can pray for you that can make you stop committing sin. The only thing that makes you stop committing sin is the day you realize the evil effect of sin. The Bible says that there is a gift of life. The gift of life is, the gift of God is eternal life. And they say, but the wages of sin is what? That means the day that thing was speaking to me, I say, why did he use the word the wage? Because you work hard, then you'll be paid for working hard. And what are you going to be paid with? Death. The wages of sin is death. Death. The gift of God is eternal life. So I said so. And I discovered that all the people that commit sin, they work hard to commit sin. They work very hard to commit sin. Have you seen a man chasing somebody's wife before? Eh? He planned very well. He's looking left and right. Because he knows if the owner of that woman catch you, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A friend of mine once told me that it's not easy to get a fine girl. He's a serious womanizer. And he told me one day, he said, Alu, you know what thing they suffer when they look for women? Oh. I said, what did they suffer? He said, oh. He says sometimes he has to spend the whole money he has just to get the woman. He says some of them, very, very, very wicked. He says when you touch them, they will slap you. He says you cannot slap back because you don't say you commit. I said, so you don't receive slap. He says you don't receive tire. Say they travel for night bus. Now he said the woman where they lie down and they sleep. Now he can't touch him. He said the woman slap his face. His sister. He don't feel talk because the people in the bus fit. So they work very hard. Therefore there is a wage. Now I am saying this so that you open your ears and say that salvation is a mystery. The day you catch the revelation of this mystery, and you find yourself right in the middle of a program for the salvation of this earth, there is an excitement it gives you, and there is a way it humbles you to see the great privilege that God has given you. Among billions of people, He can come down and include you in the book of life. It so humbles you, you fall in love with Jesus for what He went through just to save me. Our type, we don't worship God again for what He will give us. Whether He gives me anything or not, He gives me picking or not, He gives me money or not, it will not affect my worshiping Him. Because of a revelation. Salvation is of the Jews. Then how did it come to the Gentiles? Hallelujah. That there is nothing God is doing that is by gamble. While the Jews were there priding that they are the only ones, in Isaiah chapter 56 verse 8, we read it last week, He said, I will gather others beside those gathered. He was saying it, that He will gather others. His sheep is Israel. He said in John chapter 10 verse 16, He says, other sheep I have who are not of this fold, them also I will gather. And He was looking at the Gentile sheep, whose names are in the book of life. In Romans chapter 9, and if you read it from verse 22 up to verse 26, we read it very well last Sunday. He's talking about the people who were not His people, but that He will call them My people. Hallelujah. He will be found among them that were not His own. He will call them His own people. We are the ones. But more importantly, praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 to 6. Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 to 6. You see the way Apostle Paul put it. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. The day you gave your life to Christ, are we together? If you are following, then respond now. When did he choose us in him? Before the foundation of the world, God has chosen me. Hallelujah. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us. Our destiny was determined before we started. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He predestinated us in future. He destined me to be adopted as his child by Jesus Christ. He did it through Jesus Christ to adopt us to himself. Now watch that last statement. That is where I am going. Why? Why did he do that? According to the good pleasure of his will. That is where the emphasis is. He did it according to the good pleasure of his will. That is, don't ask him why he put some names there. I didn't put some names there. He says, according to his good pleasure. According to the good pleasure of his will. All things were created for his pleasure. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, Apostle Paul now broke it down for us to understand this good pleasure of his will. In Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Let's read it. Verse 6 up to verse 18. Romans chapter 6. Get that picture. The day God granted me understanding of this salvation, I have been very excited. That is why I can stand before the whole world and say, ask me question. Ask me question. And I will tell you concerning the divine agenda. Listen carefully. Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So he is the one that makes us understand why God came to us. And this is the way he put it. I am going somewhere. I'm not telling you history. I want somebody to understand why you must receive eternal life. And this may be the only opportunity you have. My emphasis, you see, the way God has been giving us these messages. You see, we started recently with anointing for sale to expose the false nonsense going on in Christianity. Then we came with the topic of salvation by assumption. That people assume they are saved instead of making sure they are saved. Now I want you to know why you should have eternal life. And how eternal life is given to us. And what is the evidence that you have it? And that's exactly. Now when you know this, it is then you can truly see the need to make your calling and election sure. It is then your prayer will change. You are not just looking for anointing. You will now look for salvation. Verse 6. Concerning Israel. Serving God without knowledge. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of promise, covenant. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, the good pleasure of his will. That is what I'm explaining, you know. And that's what Apostle Paul is making us understand here. For the children inside Rebecca's womb, be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Hey. Ah. See how useless I was. If both me and you will get the same testimony. Who again? Me and Igbo, we don't smoke Igbo before. Who again? Ogwajo. If I you useless, pass me self. Who again? Oh. Look at my brothers and sisters. Same father, same mother. They pray 5 times a day. Muslims. Their forehead spot there. My own not be spot. Now something they grow there. Maybe I hit somewhere. Out of stubbornness, my own they grow for there. Their own a prayer. Turn them. Anywhere they are going. Prayer. They will not lie. They will not cheat. Me here. No time for God. Whichever way. Even Babalawo, I no go. Just live my life. Feel alright. Feel alright. Feel alright. Hey. Anytime I look back that time, then people like us understand mercy more than anybody else. At least you go Babalawo, he protects you small. Me, my own. No Babalawo. God, not there. Allah, not there. Jesus, I know they're there. Muhammadu, I know they're there. They force me to go here. I go sit down like say, sneak around, come on, to go again. Every bad thing I committed. And yet, like Jacob. That is what he's saying here. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. For the children, verse 11. Be not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto Rebecca, unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob, thief, cheat, 419, have I loved. But Esau, gentle, senior born, have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? He said, God forbid. For he said to Moses, what did he say? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth Igbo. That is Igbo's favorite scripture. When he cannot fast, he has to break it halfway. He will quote this scripture and fly on. Yes, it's true. We receive nothing from God because we fast. We receive nothing from God because we do anything. You did not do anything before God chose you. Hallelujah. So there is nothing you can also do. Catch it. It is God's mercy. Hallelujah. So there is none of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. How? He raised a man. So that he will use him and show the whole world that he has the power to do and undo. Then he will send Moses to Pharaoh. Go! He allowed his children to be under his bondage. Then the children were crying for deliverance. Then he said, I have heard the cry of my children. Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Then he will run to Pharaoh and harden his heart so that Pharaoh will say, I no go do. So that as Pharaoh refuses, he say, hey, you say, you no go go, eh? You no go let my people go, eh? Okay, I will show you that I am God. Then he will come again and demonstrate power. Then Pharaoh will say, I beg, Moses, I beg, I go call Moses. Let these people go. But before Moses will arrive, God will go again to his heart and harden it. And he called Pharaoh, my servant. Study God and know him. You will fear him. For his good pleasure. Oh, glory be to God. Have you considered the meaning of this scripture? Romans 8 verse 20. That scripture also, the day it was speaking to me, I was very, very excited. I said, hey, this God, I will fear you and I will appreciate you. For the creature, all God's creation, you and me and all, he said, was made in the Garden of Eden. Subject to what? Vanity. When we are made subject to vanity, he said, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. I don't know how many people understand that scripture. That is, when he created Adam and Eve, he created and designed them to fall. Then he left them now so that they will be hoping for salvation, hoping for deliverance, hoping. Why will he do that? For his good pleasure. You have to understand him. So that anybody that is fighting with God, you are wasting your time. Wasting your time. Did he not know that Adam will fall? Did he not know that serpent will make them to fall? Yet he created Adam, then created serpent, and then brought him to him. So that he will fall. Then he will come down. Hey, Adam, where are thou? As if he didn't know where he was. He said, I regretted creating man. As if he didn't know what they will do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's we receive salvation through the mercy of God. So how did he achieve this? He did it by giving the law. That is another mystery. The law that God gave Israel, he did not give them and was hoping that they will keep it. He knew that they will not keep it. But here they are, boasting we are Abraham's children. Abraham's children. We are special people. We are circumcised. We are this. And God, they look at them. Okay, you are claiming you are something, Abi. That's why the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall. And God is looking at him as if, I don't know who you are. Okay. Let me show you that both you and the Gentiles, all of you are the same. Okay, wait, let me see. Oh yeah, give them the law. He gave them the law. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. See the way Apostle Paul put it. He said, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So, while they were walking with God, under grace from their father Abraham, God could not hold them guilty of committing any sin. Because he did not give them the law to know that this is wrong and this is good. So, all of them were sitting there saying, holy, holy. He said, therefore, let me show you that there is sin around you. So he gave them the law. Verse 20. Verse 20, Romans chapter 5. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans chapter 7 verse 7. He brought it out again. Romans chapter 7 verse 7, 8 and 9. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay. He said, I had not known sin, but by the law. It's the law that made me know sin. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I died. That is why Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, from verse 22, Galatians chapter 3, from verse 22, this was the way Apostle Paul, hallelujah. Oh, you need to study the Bible and know where we are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That is why. So that they will accept Jesus when he will offer Jesus to them. So everybody will be looking for a way out. So that is why he gave them the law. Hallelujah. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. He's talking to Jews. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, this is where I'm going. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Can you see? Hey, I wish a Jew can have this message and listen to it. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is the way he put it also in Romans chapter 3 again. Romans chapter 3 from verse 9. Romans chapter 3 and from verse 9. I am going somewhere. I will be patient with me. Because one day you will sit down and play this message again. And then you will catch what I have also caught. Chapter 3 from verse 9. And it says, what then? Concerning the Jews. Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison as apps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever the law say, is said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. One more scripture, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 32. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. He says, for God has concluded them all, Jews and Gentiles, in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Jews and Gentiles, Jews, you have nothing to pride now. Nothing now because you are a seed of Abraham. We are all seed of Abraham now. Hallelujah. What did he do to achieve this? Therefore, to replace the law, he gave grace. Grace is unmerited favor. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Man had no ability to live a life pleasing before God because of our nature. So, grace is God taking over your soul. God taking over a human being, taking over a man, taking over a woman, and then causing you by the working of his power to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the meaning of grace. Man cannot live a life pleasing before God. Inside of us, sin has taken over. Demons possess us. Spirit of lust and all manner of carnality. Everything evil. We've been baptized with the baptism of sin through our unbelief. The whole man, sin, condemned to death. All of us were heading to hell. For the soul that sinned shall die. And all of us, death sentence was upon us. Every one of us that is hoping to go to heaven now, it is the mercy of God. You didn't work for it. There's nothing in you that you are able to live a life. You are not fornicating. It's not you. Eh? It's not you. I hope you know that. Hallelujah. If that you have stopped drinking, it's not you. Because there are people that are still drinking. You left some people there drinking. There are some of them that are still struggling to stop drinking. Every 1st of January, their New Year resolution is, I'm not going to drink this year. For 1 month, they're not going to drink. After 1 month, they will go back. Okay, I will drink only one bottle. If the boy and the girl, they will say, lie, they're not going to fornicate again. Then after some time, before you know what, I don't know. Somebody sent a text to me. He said, Pastor, I am finished. Imagine in this consecration, while I'm fasting, I still fornicated. In fact, I have just finished fornication. Pastor, can I still, what do I do with this fasting? Should I stop or continue? That is to let you know that you need Jesus. You lack that power. On your own, you cannot stop committing sin. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, the Apostle Paul tried to let us know that there is a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit that is controlling the world, that is making them live that type of useless life they are living. There is a spirit there. And in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, he said, now that you are in Christ, there is a power that is also working in us. That is the power that in Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, Apostle Paul said, he said, for it is God, Apostle Paul, he said, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For the life that I live is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. How did he give grace? That is where people miss it. This is how he does it. And that is the New Testament. That is the New Covenant. He gave it step by step in Ezekiel chapter 36. Can we read it? Concerning Israel, the restoration of Israel. Let's read it from verse 16. I'm speaking about the deep things of salvation. That is what makes the difference between us and the denominations. What I know, Reverend Doctor doesn't know it. And I know it by his grace. I'm not even boasting about it. I'm just too happy. I just see myself special. But God is the one that made me special. Apostle Paul said, I am who I am by your grace. If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Hallelujah. When he reached down his hands for me, I was inside hell. But he reached down his hand for me. I was lost and undone. Without God nor his son, when he reached down his hand from me. Oh! Hallelujah! Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous. Oh, that God should love a sinner such as I. I wonder who is love. Hallelujah. This is the kind of revelation you have. Then those who are calling us from around the world to come and open branch, you can now see. It's a denominational hangover. Open branch where? Which branch did Jesus open? Which branch did Apostle Paul open? He opened redeemed branch, Abby. We're taking away from that type of religion. Come now and establish a personal relationship with God. That is the stage we are in now. See what he does from verse 16. He was rebuking Israel. From verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defied it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. That is a woman in menses. Wherefore, I poured my fury, anger, upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it, and I scattered them among the heathen. When did he do that? AD 70. That's why he did it. And they were dispersed through the countries. He scattered them around the world. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, in those places, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. They were yapping the Jews everywhere. But I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes. Hey. O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. This is how he will do it. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen. See, grace. This is grace now. This is grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. Has he not done so? I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. It is the same way he delivers us. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. So you're going to start now. Ask your neighbor. Since you came to Christ, your taste, the stubbornness you had before, is it still there? Concerning the word of God. If the word of God said this, before you got born again, Were you not kicking against it? It is stubborn heart, stubborn, stony heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. That spirit is the love you have for worldly things. The worldly spirit that you have. He will remove it and put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. The type of heart that you can hear rebuke from God. And you can break down and cry and ask for mercy. And I will put my spirit after he has done that. It is then that I will put my spirit within you. And cause you now to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people and I will be your God. So how does he do it? The first thing he does is clean water first. Clean water first. Which water is he referring to? It's the water of the word. There is some water that cannot clean somebody. When you go bath, you only add more dirty upon that person. When these motivational speakers are talking like pastors, what are they telling the people? The type of water they are given is unclean water. How do I know? When you leave that setting, tell me any aspect of your life that you drop. Tell me any aspect of your life that you drop. Nothing. He said you add more worldliness. You came, you saw the pastor palming his head. All the brothers, after that motivational talk called preaching, they will all go and palm their head. Dirty water. Take dirty. Add on top your dirty. And they tell you, I am born again. You are born again. Nothing. Nothing. Clean water first. Hallelujah. Your heart must be changed. A new heart has to be given to you. A new spirit then is given to you. He cleanses you first. Then he will come and put his own spirit now in you. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That causes you now to live a life that is pleasing before him. Not by your power anymore. That is the rest. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You rest from struggling to live a life pleasing before God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.